Today on Real Radio.
I have been struggling over this message because I'm going to say things, and I have already been saying things that are not palatable in this day and age. And you're not going to like me. Commitment? To my boss? Not even a Christian? Listen, why? Because it's as to Jesus Christ. When you see your boss and he's antagonistic to you, just look at him and say, Father, I feel like punching him out. But Lord, I'm going to submit as unto you. I'm going to do it for you, Jesus. And that's the only way that you'll succeed in your Christian walk with your employer, is by having that victory.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We'll be looking at the first part of chapter 6, and this passage is really valuable in that it instructs us in the area of conduct in the workplace, among other situations. Our teacher has titled this presentation, Godliness and Contentment. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
1 Timothy 6, and we open up a new chapter in the last of 1 Timothy, and then we'll be going into the brief epistle of 2 Timothy, finishing up Paul's letter to this young pastor who needed so much instruction and guidance. As he began to pastor the church there at Ephesus, he was a man that was absolutely consumed in his heart with the Bible and with his love for the Lord and his people. And Timothy, no doubt, strived in his heart to be a man after God and God's heart and God's people, and he labored greatly. But one of the things that only comes through seasoning and experience in the pastorate is actually learning things hands-on. You can go to seminary till it comes out of your ears, but there are things that you'll never learn until you're out into the real world. And I think that's true about so many other things. When we were first starting in engineering in the early 80s down in Newport at Baxter, we saw people come in just fresh out of college and university with all of their grade point averages and all of their knowledge, and they try to do something, and the old timers just kind of come in and push the guy away and go, now, sonny, I know you learned that in school, but it's not like that in the real world, and this is how you do it. And the guy just does some little equation or some little trick, and there's the young brilliant engineer, shocked at how incredible that just turned out and how simple it was. And that's, I tell you, in the ministry, there's a lot that we're learning by hands-on experience. And so because of that, we all need to be gracious and gentle with each other as we grow along in Christ, in our walks and in our ministry. But Paul now brings Timothy to chapter 6, and again, as we started last week, we've been calling them really the parables of Paul. He says there in verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because now that they're brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy and strife and reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, With these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and into snares and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. We'll stop right here for now, and already we can see some clear breaks, I think, in this chapter as we study them throughout the entire chapter. There's really four breaks, one being a salutation at the end. But what we're concerned about with this morning, and we'll go as far as we can, is that is the three major breaks of this chapter. And if you're taking notes, it would be outlined kind of in this fashion. In verses 1 and 2, there's the Christian's attitude towards his employer. I know we read the word in there, servant, and some of your old King James Bibles might have slaves. Well, you know what? I hope by the time we come to the end of this message, though you are an employer or an employee, the relationship that slaves had to their masters is really not much different than what we enjoy right now. And you might say, amen, brother. I understand that one. But I tell you, we'll be hopefully a little bit more enlightened. And then in verses 3 to 5, it is the Christian's attitude towards false teachers. And really more than false teachers are those, he's speaking of here, those misrepresenting the gospel and the doctrine of Jesus Christ to the world. In our jobs and maybe in our community and maybe even in our own church, there are those who are false. And they may not have the pulpit, but these are they who go in and out among us. John says in his epistle that they were of us. They were among us, but they were not of us. They fellowshiped with us. They might be working right with you. And we'll see who these people are. And if you're one of these people, then by the time we get out of here today, God will change your heart. And you'll leave here a new person. And you'll be just a real neat blessing at your job, right? Amen, everybody. Yes. And then the third division would be that the Christian's attitude towards money, really. Towards money, mammon, the Bible speaks about in verses 6 through 10. And so let's just start off and jump right in. He says there in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 6, let as many servants are slaves. The word is douloi, and you recognize that quickly. It's a slave, one that is owned, basically, by a master. Let as many as are slaves are employees. Are you an employee this morning? I think we all are. Even if you are an owner of a company, you are the employee of God. And God is the chairman of your board if you're a Christian, owner of a company. As many servants are under the yoke. And a little bit of background. First of all, the Roman Empire at the time of this writing had 60 to 80 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Nearly half of the population of the Roman Empire at this time were slaves. And we need to lay out right now that I know because of our background, and we've all seen, Spartacus? I don't know if that's the right movie. But these slaves, we've got pictures of these guys being really kind of barbaric. And eating drumsticks and goobers hanging out of their head. And, you know, they're just slobs, you know. And they got like a leopard, you know, underwear, whatever it is, draped across their chest with a spear in their hand. And that's not the way it was. In fact, in Roman time, the slaves were quite often physicians of their wealthy master. They were very educated. Some were cooks and butlers. Now you may say, well, big deal, that's what I am now. Well, in the ancient world, a cook and a butler was somebody that you had a real, you trusted them. They could put some cyanide crystals or something in your lunch and do you in, you know. And so your cook or your butler was a very trusted man. In fact, you remember Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, he was the king's cupbearer, Artaxerxes. Nehemiah, being a slave Jew, was a minister or a servant or a butler. He was the wine taster. That's a pretty serious job, because that's the guy, you know, Nehemiah would walk in and the Artaxerxes would say, "Hey, Nehemiah, we just got a crate from Northern California, and I'd like you to test the wine." Nehemiah would pour it in a cup and give it a little smell and see how it looks in the glass, you know, take a sip. And if he died, then the king didn't drink the wine. And the king greatly trusted the wine tester or taster, the wine cup bearer, of which Nehemiah was one of them. And the slaves in the Roman Empire were of that trustworthy state. Most of them, not all of them. Some of them were even contractors. They were general contractors. They built tremendous things for their rich owners. And then this is interesting. And boy, does this hit home. Listen up. Some were even consultants. They were owned by their master, but they were subbed out to other masters in the building of a space shuttle or something they were building, or a dam or a wall or some kind of a work that maybe a wealthy landowner had going on. He would maybe write a letter or visit his other wealthy buddy and say, "Hey, I need this job done. What can you do about it?" And he'll say, "Well, I got a great slave. He's skilled in engineering. And he'll show you how to build that dike or that waterway." And quite often there were consultants. And I found that very interesting, because we're not going to call them slaves anymore, because in our modern day, the role that we fill as employees fits the bill. And I'm sorry to bum you out this morning. You may think already, "Well, my boss already thinks I'm a slave." Well, you know what? In reality, that's exactly what we are. We are employees, so many of us. In fact, quite honestly, all of us are employees of our God. And we shouldn't cringe at that. We shouldn't jump back, because first of all, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible tells us that God created man, named him Adam, and said, "Okay, Adam, wake up. Breathe in him the breath of life." Adam became a living soul, stood up and stretched and said, "Man, what a great day. I'm going to go fishing, I think." And God says, "Oh, no. You've got work to do. You got to go to a job." And so we go, "Oh, no." And yes, men, women, we were created to work. And you go, "Oh, that doesn't sound right. I think I'm hearing heresy." Listen, the fact of the matter is God put Adam in the garden to till it. He was a gardener, and he would work it. However, I have no doubt that Adam enjoyed his job immensely. In fact, from his job, he received incredible contentment and fulfillment from doing his task. And some of you have jobs like that right now, and you're blessed of the Lord. Some of you, I hope and trust that you will have a job like that after you leave here in the next 40 minutes. God will change your heart. But so we're going to be talking about employees now. So it says, "As many employees as are under the yoke," and that's a phrase meaning working for non-believers, under the yoke. And so many of us can raise our hands about that. "As many employees are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God is and his doctrine is not blasphemed." This is fantastic. That word "count" or "reckon," it means to determine or realize or come to the place of enlightenment. That I am to be an employee of my employer, and I am to count him. I'm to reckon in my mind, if I'm going to be a Christian, that man is worthy of all honor. Jack, you don't know the bum I work for. God says that man is worthy of all honor. Why? God has ordained it that he be or she be your boss. It's not by chance. God has seen that fit. In fact, he is absolutely God's minister to you in a lot of ways. He's godless. He hates God. He hates Christians. He can't stand me. God is still using him. Why? He's preparing you. He's working in you. And I want you to know right now, if you grasp this sincerely in your heart, you will have victory. You'll go back to work tomorrow, and you'll go up to that boss that is kind of a little stinker, and you'll say, "What can I do for you today?" And he'll go, "What are you on? Are you smoking something?" Say, "Hey, man, what do you want me to do for you today?" And he'll think you're crazy. But you begin to actually minister to him as you would to Jesus Christ, as we'll see as we go through this study. You need to count, reckon, determine in your mind that that man or woman that you work for, that company that you work for, is ordained by God, and God has put you there. And I want to share this. When we were working last year in our trades there in engineering, all of the great layoffs were taking place that all of you know so much about. For 2 years, we had been laying people off. And all of us brothers had gotten together at work, and we just decided, well, you know, the Lord's in control. If he lays us off, that's the way it is. And we saw people laid off left and right. And the only Christians that got laid off were those who were ready for retirement. All of the other Christians didn't get laid off. And I got to tell you right now, this is rare, what I'm about to say. The brothers and sister Christians that I worked with at my job, I have never seen a more godly set of people. They were totally committed to their jobs because they worked at their jobs as unto Jesus Christ himself. We had a fantastic relationship, and in a real way, the Christian population there at that company basically ruled that place. And we had some 2,000 employees just at our location. But the godly representation of these men and women, it was profound. And I was blessed to be working with such people. Now, I admit that is rare, because many of us know Christians that are contrary. They've got an unbelieving boss, and all they do at break time, and I know, by the way, this has nothing to do with any of us. You get to work late, some Christians. "Oh, excuse me, boss, I was just praying on the way in, you know. Got a little late." Hey, that doesn't fly. Then you take break a little early and you come back from break a little late. You take a little long lunch, and then what do you do on those breaks? Now, I know none of us would ever do this. But a lot of Christians get together and go, "Man, did you see how little a raise we all got? I can't believe this place." Oh, man, there they go, cutting back our benefits again. And we can chew and grind and nag on these people. And yet, in all reality, God has put them in that place for us. It's not an accident that we're working there. Well, wait a minute. What about my benefits, man? What about my 401k? They're ripping it up. Listen, God knows. The Lord's in total control. We are employees ultimately of the Lord God in heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:5, servants or employees, be obedient to those who are your employer according to the flesh. That means you work and work hard. Setting an example with fear and with trembling in sincerity of heart. Why? As to Christ. Isn't that heavy? And I have been struggling over this message because I'm going to say things, and I have already been saying things that are not palatable in this day and age. And you're not going to like me. Commitment to my boss? Not even a Christian? Listen, why? Because it's as to Jesus Christ. When you see your boss and he's antagonistic to you, just look at him and say, "Father, I feel like punching him out. But Lord, I'm going to submit as unto you. I'm going to do it for you, Jesus." And that's the only way that you'll succeed in your Christian walk with your employer, is by having that victory, not complaining. I mean, come on, don't we know we've all done it? "I can't believe they're making us stay late." And all of a sudden, you know, you get a couple people together and you start to nag, and don't you just feel bummed and heavy? And then somebody comes along, maybe a Christian, goes, "Come on, let's just do it for God. Let's just crank, come on." And all of a sudden, it's not so bad after all, because we do it for Jesus. And so our attitudes towards our bosses and towards our employer means everything. It's a test. And by the way, it's a preparation for the ministry. If the Lord takes you into full-time ministry, as you think you understand it, which in all reality, you are in full-time ministry. The church may not be paying you. IBM might be paying you, yet the money's coming from God. And so when you work for your company, that is your ministry. Well, Jack, I don't have a job. I'm a housewife. I feel bummed. In fact, I feel kind of left out. I want to say something to you. I don't know very many women who can really fulfill what I consider the greatest employment of all, and that is raising a home, governing a home. I don't know of too many women who do it well. Why? Because it's too expensive. It's too hard. The benefits aren't too cool. And women, ladies here, if you're, as the world says, just a housewife, that makes me sick to hear that. You've got the loftiest call in all of the earth. That's why you're having a hard time doing it. The enemy, Satan himself, is against your task. The world is against you. The world parades in front of the women at home. You need to look like this. You need to own these. You need to have some more of that. You need to drive a car like this. And you begin to look at it and go, yeah, what am I doing with my life? I mean, I'm sick of everything. I cook, I clean, these little guys, I clean the house, like I'm running on in here and they get it all dirty again. Hey. Does it sound like I've heard that before? Does it sound like I've been one of those little guys? Listen, it's the hardest job in the world. And I've talked to women at the company I used to work for who said, hey, I'll be straight with you. I can't handle it. That's why I'm working here. Listen, they've told me that. It's an awesome task. And don't ever think for a moment that you're not called to that job. It is ordained by God himself. It is the most lofty position because from that occupation, pastors are born, engineers are born, presidents are born. It's the greatest job in all of the world, and it's the least appreciated, and it's slammed by the world, and I'm bummed for you. And it grieves my heart, as it does so many of you. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, employees, be submissive to your employer with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh bosses. For this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently, but you do good and suffer it. For to this you were called, listen, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the first part of 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul advises the reader on conduct while engaged in our occupations. It's a presentation called Godliness and Contentment, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if Real Radio is part of your routine, we'd like to hear from you. Either call, click, or write. When visiting us at realradioactive.org, just click where it says Send Us a Message. If you'd like to learn what others have written in, click the tab that says Reaction. Again, realradioactive.org. Or get in touch, our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can do it the traditional way. Write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of that information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.